Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Pretender, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Arrival. The Harrington Estate stood like a monument to wealth and legacy, its towering gates etched with intricate designs that whispered tales of power and history. The mansion beyond was equally imposing, with sprawling gardens and glistening windows that reflected the pale afternoon sun. It was here, on this picture-perfect day, that Daniel arrived. He stepped out of a sleek black sedan, his tailored suit fitting as if it had been crafted by the gods themselves. His face bore the perfect combination of humility and confidence, his eyes a piercing shade of blue that seemed to hold secrets just out of reach. He carried only a leather duffel bag, a modest contrast to the grandeur around him. Daniel's arrival was no accident. It was a carefully planned performance. The butler, an elderly man with sharp eyes, opened the massive front doors. "May I help you, sir?" His tone was polite but guarded. Daniel smiled, warm yet restrained. "I'm here to see Richard Harrington. My name is Daniel. Daniel Harrington." He paused, letting the name hang in the air, as if he were testing its weight. The butler's expression shifted, confusion, surprise, and curiosity flitting across his face. "Come inside, please. I'll inform Mr. Harrington." As he stepped into the grand foyer, Daniel marveled at the opulence before him. The marble floors gleamed under a chandelier that seemed larger than life. Family portraits lined the walls, their painted eyes scrutinizing him, but Daniel met their gaze with practiced indifference. He had studied these faces for months, committing every detail to memory. A few minutes later, Richard Harrington appeared, his presence commanding despite his advanced age. His silver hair was immaculately combed, and his sharp suit suggested a man accustomed to control. Behind him trailed his youngest daughter, Emma, a striking woman in her early 30s with an air of suspicion already written across her face. "Who are you?" Richard asked, his voice calm but firm. His piercing eyes scanned Daniel, measuring him. "I'm Daniel Harrington, sir," he replied smoothly. "Your nephew." "My mother was Elaine, your sister." The silence that followed was thick, as if the room itself held its breath. Richard's face flickered with emotion, shock, disbelief, and something akin to hope. "Elaine's son," Richard whispered, his voice barely audible. "But she vanished decades ago. We searched everywhere." "You couldn't be." "I know this is a lot to take in," Daniel interrupted, his tone gentle but insistent. "I only recently discovered the truth myself. My mother passed away a few years ago. Before she died, she told me about the Harringtons." "About you?" Daniel reached into his duffel bag and produced a worn leather journal. "She kept this," he said, handing it to Richard. The old man took it with trembling hands, flipping through pages of scribbled notes and faded photographs. One image in particular caught his eye, a young Elaine with Richard as children. Emma crossed her arms, her eyes narrowing. "And you expect us to believe this? A stranger shows up out of nowhere, claiming to be family, and we're just supposed to accept it?" Daniel turned to her, his smile never faltering. "I understand your skepticism, Miss Harrington. If I were in your position, I'd feel the same way. But I'm here to build connections, not tear them apart. If you want proof, I'm more than willing to provide it." Richard silenced her with a raised hand. "Enough, Emma. If he's telling the truth, we owe it to Elaine to listen." His voice softened as he looked at Daniel. "You must stay with us, at least until we figure this out." Daniel inclined his head, gratitude etched on his face. "Thank you, sir. Means a lot." As the butler showed him to a guest room, Daniel allowed himself a small smile. The first step was complete. He was in. Chapter 2: Web of Lies. The Harrington Mansion was a labyrinth of wealth and history. Every corridor Daniel walked down seemed to whisper of its occupant's power and privilege. But for Daniel, the gilded walls were not a reminder of what he lacked. They were a promise of what he was about to take. Over breakfast the next morning, Daniel found himself at the heart of the Harrington family. The long oak table was laden with an absurd array of options: fresh fruit, pastries, eggs cooked every which way. He took a seat near Richard, who regarded him with a mix of curiosity and affection. Across the table, Emma sat stiffly, her eyes narrowing every time Daniel spoke. "I've arranged for a DNA test," Richard said suddenly, setting down his coffee cup. His tone was matter-of-fact, but his gaze was searching. Daniel's fork paused mid-air, but only for a fraction of a second. "Of course," he said smoothly, setting it down. "I expected nothing less. I want this to be as certain as you do." Emma snorted softly, but her father ignored her. Instead, he smiled, a warmth in his eyes that Daniel knew was the first crack in the fortress. "Tell me, Daniel," Richard said, leaning forward. "What was your mother like after she left?" Daniel's expression softened, his eyes growing misty. "She was an amazing woman," he began, his voice thick with emotion. "Strong, loving, but always haunted by something. She never spoke much about her past, only that she had left to protect someone she loved. I didn't understand it as a child. But now," he trailed off, letting the weight of his words linger. The table fell silent, Richard's face etched with a mix of guilt and longing. Emma, however, was not so easily swayed. "That's convenient," she said, her tone sharp. "A tragic backstory, no tangible proof. And you show up just when father is revising his will." "Emma," Richard barked, his voice stern. "That's enough." But Daniel held up a hand, his demeanor calm. "It's okay," he said. "I understand where she's coming from. I'd probably feel the same way in her shoes." His humility only seemed to infuriate Emma further, but Richard's approval was unmistakable. "You're a good man, Daniel," he said. "I can see that. Building trust, exploiting weakness." Over the next few days, Daniel ingratiated himself further into the family. He took long walks with Richard, asking probing questions about the family's history while deftly avoiding giving too much of his own. He played chess with Richard, who marveled at Daniel's strategic mind, unaware it was more than a game for him. With the family staff, Daniel was unfailingly polite, earning their quiet approval. The housekeeper, Mrs. Morton, began leaving little snacks for him outside his door. The gardener, a man in his 60s named Charles, opened up about the Harringtons' internal tensions, particularly Emma's strained relationship with her father. Emma, however, was not so easily swayed. One evening, as Daniel stood admiring a painting in the library, she cornered him. "Who are you really?" she asked, her voice low but fierce. Daniel turned to face her, his expression calm. "I'm exactly who I say I am, Emma. Don't play innocent with me," she shot back. "I don't know how you did it, but I'm going to find out. And when I do, you'll wish you'd never stepped foot in this house." He stepped closer, his demeanor changing ever so slightly. The charm remained, but there was an edge now, something cold beneath the surface. "I admire your determination," he said softly. "But be careful, Emma. Accusations without proof can cause irreparable damage." For a moment, their eyes locked, and Emma felt a shiver run down her spine. She stepped back, suddenly unsure if she was truly in control of the situation. The turning point. That night, Daniel sat in his room, scrolling through files on a tablet. He had gathered enough information about the Harringtons to know their vulnerabilities. Richard's guilt over losing his sister. Emma's need to prove herself. The older son, Victor, who lived overseas and cared more about his tech empire than the family legacy. One particular document caught his attention, a revised draft of Richard's will, stored in a folder labeled confidential. The legal jargon was dense, but the meaning was clear. Richard had begun making plans to include Daniel. Daniel's lips curved into a smile. The cracks were widening. It was only a matter of time before the Harrington Empire was his to exploit. Chapter 3. The Vanishing Act. The Harrington estate buzzed with activity. The family had decided to host a lavish gala, a tradition dating back decades. It was an evening meant to showcase the Harrington legacy, a night where power and prestige would mingle under the glittering chandeliers. For Daniel, it was the perfect stage. The gala begins. Guests arrived in droves, their expensive cars forming a parade of wealth. Women adorned in shimmering gowns and men in tailored tuxedos filled the grand hall, their laughter and chatter echoing through the mansion. Daniel moved among them with ease, his presence magnetic. He charmed the board members of Harrington Industries, impressed Richard's oldest friends with his knowledge of family history, and even danced with Emma, much to her visible discomfort. Every interaction was calculated, every word designed to weave him deeper into the fabric of the Harrington dynasty. By the time the dinner was served, Daniel had everyone eating out of his hand, figuratively and literally. The heist in motion. Unbeknownst to the family, Daniel had spent the past weeks preparing for this moment. While the Harringtons had been busy debating his legitimacy, he had been mapping their vulnerabilities. Richard's office was the key. Behind its heavy oak doors lay a safe containing documents, passwords, and financial keys that Daniel needed to execute his plan. As the gala reached its peak, Daniel slipped away. He moved through the mansion's quiet corridors with practiced ease, each step calculated and silent. He reached the office and pulled out a set of tools from his pocket. Within moments, the safe clicked open. Inside were stacks of documents, bound in neat folders. Daniel sifted through them quickly, pulling out the ones he needed: account details, investment portfolios, and most importantly, the digital keys to transfer funds. His heart raced, but his hands were steady. This wasn't his first con, and it wouldn't be his last. He carefully placed everything back in order, ensuring nothing seemed out of place, and locked the safe. A masterful exit. By the time Daniel returned to the party, no one had noticed his absence. He smiled, raising a glass in a toast with Richard, who looked at him with the pride of a father. "I'm glad you're here," Richard said, his voice warm. "Elaine would have wanted this." Daniel nodded, feigning emotion. "So am I," he replied, his tone sincere. Inside, he felt no guilt. To him, the Harringtons were just another mark, wealthy, entitled, and blind to the danger in their midst. As the party wound down, Daniel excused himself, claiming fatigue. He retreated to his room, where he activated his laptop. Using the information he had gathered, he began transferring funds from the Harrington accounts into offshore holdings. The process was seamless, the trail untraceable. The Vanishing Act. The next morning, the mansion was quiet. The gala's aftermath lingered in the form of half-empty champagne glasses and discarded decorations. The family slowly gathered for breakfast, but Daniel was conspicuously absent. "Where is he?" Richard asked, a note of concern in his voice. The butler returned from Daniel's room, his face pale. "He's gone, sir." "Gone?" Richard's brow furrowed. "What do you mean, gone?" "His room is empty," the butler replied. "His belongings are gone." Panic began to ripple through the family. Emma, however, looked unsurprised. "I told you," she hissed. "I told you he was lying." Richard ignored her, his hands shaking as he reached for his phone. Within minutes, the family discovered the full extent of the betrayal. Funds were missing from multiple accounts. Richard's will had been altered and emailed to a mysterious address. Even personal items of value, a priceless family heirloom watch, several paintings, were missing. The Harringtons had been played, and Daniel had vanished without a trace. Aftermath. Emma was livid. We need to call the police, she said, pacing the room. He's a con artist, a thief. But Richard sat slumped in his chair, his face ashen. No, he whispered. No police. If this gets out, it'll ruin us. The company, the legacy. It'll all fall apart. Emma stared at him in disbelief. So you're just going to let him get away with it? Richard didn't answer, and for the first time, Emma saw her father not as the unshakable patriarch of the Harrington family, but as an old man weighed down by his own guilt and regret. Daniel's next move. Far from the Harrington estate, Daniel sat in a sleek penthouse apartment overlooking a bustling city. A glass of scotch rested in his hand as he scrolled through his bank accounts, each one now considerably fuller. On the table before him lay documents for his next identity, already in progress. The game was far from over. The Harringtons were just another chapter in a story that spanned years. As Daniel leaned back, a satisfied smile on his face, the thought crossed his mind. Who would be his next target? Chapter 4, The Chase. Detective Laura Munro sat at her cluttered desk, sifting through files that seemed to bleed with the same thread of deception. The Harrington case had just landed in her lap, but the moment she read the name Daniel Harrington, if that was even his real name, she recognized the pattern. This wasn't his first con, and it wouldn't be his last if she didn't catch him. The Harrington fallout. At the Harrington estate, tension crackled in the air. Emma had taken charge, poring over financial records with the family's legal team. She refused to let her father's decision to keep the scandal quiet hinder her pursuit of justice. The stolen millions and Daniel's false identity weren't just crimes, they were personal affronts. How could you not see this coming? Emma snapped at her father during yet another tense meeting. He walked in here with nothing but a smile and some fabricated story, and you handed him the keys to the kingdom. Richard's face darkened, his once unshakable confidence eroded by guilt. He was convincing, he muttered, but even he didn't believe his own defense anymore. In the corner, their private investigator, Marcus Reed, stood silent, piecing together the fragments of Daniel's trail. We've identified similar cons in other cities, Marcus said finally. Each time, he uses a different identity, targeting wealthy families with specific vulnerabilities. Then find him, Emma demanded, her voice cold. Before he does this to someone else. Daniel's new game. Miles away, Daniel had already begun his next con. Posing as James Porter, a charming philanthropist, he ingratiated himself with a new mark. Charlotte Mason, a widowed heiress managing her late husband's extensive estate. Her vulnerability made her an ideal target. At a charity gala Charlotte hosted, Daniel played his part to perfection. He flattered her with subtle, genuine-seeming compliments and shared fabricated stories of loss to build an emotional connection. You're quite remarkable, Charlotte, he said, his voice low and sincere. Your husband must have been proud of the way you've kept his legacy alive. Charlotte blushed, the walls around her heart weakening. It hasn't been easy, she admitted. But I try. Daniel smiled, the same disarming smile that had charmed the Harringtons. If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. I admire people like you. As Charlotte's trust grew, Daniel began to carefully maneuver himself into her financial affairs. He planted the idea that he could help her invest her wealth into charities, all while discreetly setting up accounts to siphon her funds. Detective Munro's investigation. Back at the precinct, Laura Munro worked tirelessly to connect the dots. Each con Daniel had pulled was a masterpiece of manipulation, but they all shared common threads, targeting wealthy families, assuming a believable identity, and leaving just enough breadcrumbs to taunt his pursuers. This guy's a ghost, Laura muttered, flipping through a stack of surveillance photos. But ghosts make mistakes. Her team managed to uncover a single lead. Daniel had been spotted withdrawing cash from an ATM in the city where Charlotte Mason lived. It was a small break, but it was enough to reignite her determination. A dangerous encounter. As Daniel's relationship with Charlotte deepened, He failed to notice the cracks forming in his carefully constructed facade. One evening, while he was combing through her late husband's financial records, the doorbell rang. Charlotte answered, and Daniel listened from the study as a deep voice introduced himself. "Detective Monroe," the voice said. "I'd like to ask you a few questions about a man named James Porter." Daniel's blood ran cold. He quickly closed the laptop, his mind racing. He couldn't leave through the front door without being seen, but if he stayed too long, Monroe would start asking questions he couldn't afford Charlotte to answer. From the study, Daniel grabbed a set of emergency documents he had stashed in his briefcase and slipped out through the balcony. The cold night air bit at his skin as he climbed down the ivy-covered trellis and disappeared into the shadows, closing in on the target. Detective Monroe was no fool. She knew Daniel wouldn't be waiting around, but the tension in Charlotte's demeanor confirmed her suspicions. "Miss Mason," Laura said gently, "I don't think you know who you've been dealing with. James Porter is a professional con artist. He's been linked to thefts, fraud, and possibly even murder." Charlotte paled, her breath catching in her throat. "Murder?" Laura nodded grimly. "He's dangerous. If he comes back, call me immediately. Do not confront him." Daniel, watching from a nearby alley, knew his time with Charlotte was over. He cursed under his breath, already planning his next move. But as he slipped into the night, he couldn't shake the feeling that this chase was different, that Monroe was closer than anyone else had ever been. Chapter 5. The Mask Slips. Daniel sat in a dimly lit motel room on the outskirts of the city. The room was sparse, with peeling wallpaper and a faint smell of mildew, a stark contrast to the opulence of the Harrington estate and Charlotte Mason's mansion. He stared at the stack of passports and identification cards on the table before him, each one a lifeline to a new identity. His laptop pinged, a notification from a bank account he'd set up during his time with Charlotte. A modest sum of money had been transferred, but not nearly enough to cover his escape. Detective Monroe had interrupted his plans too early, and now he was scrambling to stay ahead of her. For the first time in years, Daniel felt the pressure of being hunted. A blast from the past. As Daniel reviewed his next steps, a knock on the door startled him. He grabbed a knife from the table and approached the door cautiously. Peering through the peephole, his heart sank. On the other side stood Marcus Shaw, a former accomplice who had helped Daniel execute one of his earlier cons. Shaw was rough around the edges, with a scar across his cheek and a perpetual smirk that hinted at a penchant for trouble. "Open up, Danny," Shaw called out, his voice laced with amusement. "I know you're in there." Reluctantly, Daniel opened the door. "What do you want, Marcus?" Shaw pushed past him into the room, his eyes immediately scanning the passports and cash on the table. "You've been busy," he said, picking up a passport and flipping through it. "But not busy enough to keep your tracks covered." Daniel tensed. "What are you talking about?" "I'm talking about Detective Monroe," Shaw replied, tossing the passport back onto the table. "Word on the street is she's got your scent. And if she finds you, she's going to find me." "That's a problem, Danny." Daniel sighed, running a hand through his hair. "I've got it under control." Shaw laughed, a sharp, humorless sound. "Clearly. That's why you're holed up in this dump, scrambling to get out of town. Face it, you need help." "I don't need your help," Daniel snapped. "I'm fine on my own." Shaw's expression darkened. "Listen to me, Danny. I didn't come here for a reunion. I came here because if you go down, I go down. So, we're in this together now, whether you like it or not. Cracks in the plan." Meanwhile, Detective Monroe was closing in. With Charlotte Mason's cooperation, she traced Daniel's movements through credit card transactions and ATM withdrawals. Each lead brought her closer to the motel, but Daniel's resourcefulness kept him one step ahead. At the same time, Emma Harrington was conducting her own investigation. She had convinced her father to release funds to hire a team of private investigators, and their findings painted a chilling picture of Daniel's past. Multiple families had been left in financial ruin, and at least two mysterious deaths were linked to his cons. For Emma, this wasn't just about justice. It was about restoring her family's honor. The pressure mounts. Back at the motel, Shaw's presence became a source of constant friction. He pushed Daniel to move faster, to abandon the careful planning that had always been his hallmark. Their arguments grew louder, more frequent, until one night Daniel snapped. "Do you think I've gotten this far by being reckless?" Daniel shouted, his composure slipping. "You're the one who always made mistakes, who couldn't follow the plan. That's why I cut you loose in the first place." Shaw's eyes narrowed. "Careful, Danny. You might be the brains, but don't forget who's had your back all these years." The tension was palpable, the room charged with unspoken threats. For the first time, Daniel realized that Shaw wasn't just a liability. He was a threat. A dangerous betrayal. The breaking point came when Daniel discovered that Shaw had contacted one of their old associates without telling him. The associate, desperate for cash, had leaked their location to an unknown party. Daniel confronted Shaw, his voice low and dangerous. "You've put us both at risk," Daniel hissed. "Do you have any idea what you've done?" Shaw smirked, but there was fear in his eyes. "Relax, Danny. I've got it handled." "You don't handle anything," Daniel snapped. "You just make things worse." That night, while Shaw slept, Daniel packed his bags. He couldn't afford to stay any longer, not with Shaw's recklessness drawing attention. Leaving a note behind, he slipped out of the motel and disappeared into the night. The net tightens. When Detective Monroe arrived at the motel the next morning, she found Shaw pacing the room, cursing Daniel's name. She arrested him on the spot, using his connection to Daniel as leverage. "You want to save yourself?" Monroe asked, her tone icy. "Tell me where he's going." Shaw hesitated, torn between loyalty and self-preservation. In the end, self-preservation won. "He's heading west," Shaw said. "But if you think you're going to catch him, you're underestimating him. Daniel always has a plan." Monroe smiled faintly. "We'll see." Chapter 6. The Truth Unveiled. Daniel was driving down an endless stretch of highway, his mind racing as fast as the engine. He had always been 10 steps ahead, but now the walls were closing in. He had ditched Marcus Shaw, but the betrayal left him rattled. Detective Monroe's relentless pursuit and Emma Harrington's private investigators were forcing him to adapt faster than ever. His new target, a reclusive art dealer named Everett Langston, was supposed to be his clean slate. Langston was known for his vast collection of rare, priceless artifacts and his obsession with secrecy. Daniel had carefully constructed a persona, a well-connected broker who could discreetly acquire a rare artifact for Langston's collection. It was the perfect con. Or so he thought. Setting the trap. In a quiet, upscale neighborhood, Daniel met Langston at his sprawling estate. The older man was sharp-eyed and reserved, with a cautious air that set Daniel on edge. They discussed art, trust, and the terms of their arrangement. Daniel's charm was working, but Langston's guarded nature made him uneasy. Over dinner, Langston asked, "How did you come by this artifact? Pieces of this nature are rarely found without complications." Daniel smiled, a practiced expression of confidence. "I have my ways, Mr. Langston. Let's just say I have connections in places most people don't." Langston nodded but didn't press further. However, Daniel couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. As he left the estate that evening, he caught sight of a figure in a parked car nearby. The silhouette was unmistakable. It was Detective Monroe. Monroe closes in. Monroe had been tracking Daniel relentlessly, piecing together his pattern of lies, thefts, and disappearances. She had learned of Langston's peculiar dealings through a tip from Shaw, who was proving to be an invaluable source. Monroe had warned Langston, advising him to play along and gather evidence. The tension between hunter and prey grew with each passing hour. Monroe could almost taste the satisfaction of bringing Daniel to justice, but she knew he was dangerous, always a step ahead. Emma's breakthrough. Back at the Harrington estate, Emma Harrington had made her own breakthrough. After countless sleepless nights poring over Daniel's fabricated identity, she uncovered a critical piece of evidence. A photograph of Daniel as a teenager, standing next to a man who was wanted in connection with several high-profile cons. The man was Marcus Shaw. Emma contacted Monroe with the evidence, and the two women began to piece together Daniel's true identity. His real name was Peter Grant, a man with a troubled past marked by abandonment, manipulation, and survival at any cost. "This changes everything," Monroe said. "We're no longer chasing a con artist. We're chasing a ghost." Daniel's past revealed. As Daniel prepared for the next phase of his con with Langston, he found himself haunted by memories he had spent years suppressing. Flashes of his childhood, living in foster homes, learning to lie to survive, and trusting no one, flooded his mind. He remembered Marcus Shaw, his first mentor in the art of the con. Shaw had taught him everything: how to read people, exploit their weaknesses, and vanish without a trace. But Shaw's greed and lack of discipline had always been a liability. That's why Daniel had walked away from him years ago. Now, as his world crumbled around him, Daniel felt the weight of his choices pressing down on him. For the first time, he questioned whether the life he had built was worth the cost. The confrontation. Langston invited Daniel back to finalize their deal. Unbeknownst to Daniel, the estate was surrounded by law enforcement, led by Detective Monroe. Langston played his part perfectly, feigning trust as Daniel presented a forged artifact and prepared to collect his payment. But before the transaction could be completed, Langston leaned in and said, "You know, I've dealt with a lot of men like you. But you're different. You're running from something, aren't you?" Daniel froze, his instincts screaming at him to leave. Before he could respond, Monroe and her team stormed the room. Guns drawn, officers surrounded him, their voices cutting through the tense air. "Daniel Harrington, Peter Grant, you're under arrest." Daniel's mind raced. He considered running, but there was no escape. Slowly, he raised his hands, his face a mask of calm. Inside, he was unraveling. Emma's final move. As Daniel was led away in handcuffs, he locked eyes with Detective Monroe. "You think you've won," he said, a faint smirk on his lips. "This isn't over." Monroe didn't flinch. "No, it's not," she replied. "But it's the beginning of the end." Back at the Harrington estate, Emma received the news of Daniel's arrest. Relief washed over her, but so did a sense of emptiness. The man who had torn her family apart was finally behind bars, but the scars he had left would take years to heal. Emma stared at a photograph of her family, taken before Daniel's arrival. For the first time in weeks, she allowed herself to smile. Justice had been served, and the truth had been unveiled. Chapter 7: Vengeance. The small, sterile interrogation room was bathed in fluorescent light, casting harsh shadows on Daniel's face. His hands were cuffed to the metal table, but his calm demeanor betrayed none of the panic he felt inside. Across from him sat Detective Monroe, her piercing gaze unwavering. "You've made quite the career for yourself, haven't you, Daniel? Or should I call you Peter?" she began, her voice steady. Daniel smirked, leaning back in his chair as far as the cuffs allowed. "Call me whatever you like. It doesn't change the fact that you'll never pin anything on me." Monroe slid a stack of files across the table. "Oh, I wouldn't be so sure about that. These are statements from your victims. Financial records, surveillance footage. Everything we need to ensure you don't con another family again." Daniel's smirk faltered for a fraction of a second before he regained his composure. "You think you've got it all figured out, don't you?" he said, his tone dripping with disdain. Monroe leaned forward, her eyes locked on his. "You're smart, I'll give you that. But even the smartest criminals slip up eventually. And you, Peter, just slipped up big time." Emma's decision. Back at the Harrington estate, Emma stared at her phone, contemplating her next move. Despite Daniel's arrest, she couldn't shake the feeling that he wasn't done with them. The revelations about his real identity, the trail of destruction he had left in his wake, it all pointed to a man who thrived on control. Emma picked up the phone and dialed Detective Monroe. "I want to testify," she said firmly. "I'll do whatever it takes to make sure he's put away for good." "Thank you, Emma," Monroe replied. "Your testimony will be critical. We're building a strong case, but his history of manipulation means we need every piece of evidence we can get." Emma hung up and looked out the window at the sprawling estate. For the first time, she felt a sense of closure. The man who had nearly destroyed her family was finally facing justice. Trial. The courtroom was packed with reporters, their cameras flashing as Daniel was escorted to his seat. His lawyer, a sharp and well-dressed man named Victor Hayes, stood by his side, exuding confidence. Across the aisle, Emma sat with her father, their faces resolute. The prosecution laid out its case methodically, presenting evidence of Daniel's fraudulent activities, stolen funds, and his trail of victims. Detective Monroe testified about her investigation, painting a vivid picture of Daniel's calculated deception. When it was Emma's turn to take the stand, she faced Daniel with unwavering determination. "He didn't just steal our money," she said, her voice steady. "He stole our trust, our sense of security. He preyed on our vulnerabilities and left us to pick up the pieces." Daniel watched her with a faint smile, as though her words were nothing more than background noise. But for the jury, Emma's testimony was powerful, a reminder of the human cost of Daniel's crimes. A dangerous game. As the trial progressed, Daniel's charm began to falter. His lawyer's attempts to discredit the witnesses fell flat, and the weight of the evidence was undeniable. Still, Daniel maintained his air of superiority, confident that he could manipulate the outcome. But in a stunning twist, Marcus Shaw was brought in as a key witness. Shaw's testimony was damning, revealing the full extent of Daniel's schemes and implicating him in additional crimes. For the first time, Daniel's calm facade cracked. "You sold me out," Daniel hissed as Shaw walked past him. Shaw smirked, leaning in close. "It's nothing personal, Danny. Just business." The verdict. After weeks of testimony and deliberation, the jury reached its verdict: guilty on all counts. As the judge read the sentence, a lengthy prison term, Daniel's smirk disappeared. The man who had built his life on lies and manipulation was finally caught in a web of his own making. As Daniel was led away in handcuffs, he glanced back at Emma and Monroe. His eyes were cold, calculating. "This isn't over," he said, his voice low but filled with venom. Emma met his gaze with a steely resolve. "Yes, it is. Closure and reflection." For the Harrington family, Daniel's conviction brought a sense of closure. Richard began rebuilding the family's finances, and Emma emerged as a stronger, more determined leader. Detective Monroe, though satisfied with the outcome, knew that Daniel's story was far from over. She had seen his kind before. People who thrived on manipulation and chaos. But for now, justice had been served. As Emma stood in the estate's garden, she thought about the lessons learned from the ordeal. Trust had been shattered, but it had also been rebuilt stronger than before. The scars Daniel left behind would fade, but the resilience of her family would endure.